Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Coming up on Nothing Major, yes, we are back to Nothing Major now. We're going to talk about the Red Bull Flugtag event that myself and Stevie J and the team at SIFT are going to be participating in this coming weekend in Dallas, Texas. We're also going to wrap up the U.S. Open with our friend Blair Henley to talk about, of course, that amazing 2 weeks up in New York. We're also going to answer some mailbag questions about the U.S. Open that we were not able to get to during Something Major, just did not quite have time. And finally, get ready for this, another Sam Querrey brainchild segment. If ATP players were women, just bear with us. Doesn't sound great right now, but bear with us. It's going to be fun. Let's get the show started. All right, welcome back to Nothing Major. John Isner joined with Sam Querrey. Internet looks a little spotty where you are. I'm not sure where you are, Sam. And
I'm in the Midwest.
Stevie Johnson, no hat, buttoned up shirt, and full mustache.
Yeah,
back. Jack is not with us today. He's got pickleball singles going on this morning. Anyways, but the team at SIFT is with us as always. So I mentioned in the pre-intro, the Flugtag event. Sam, you're out, right? Like, you cannot make it.
I'm out. I can't make it.
Yeah, that sucks. I know. I understandable. I know you have other obligations, but Stevie, you're in. You're coming to Dallas. For me, it's a 25-minute drive, so pretty easy.
Can you give people a rundown of like what it is again?
Okay, I'm going to do my best.
Do your best.
I'm going to do my best. So it's the Red Bull Flugtag event. It's like it's Red Bull's like marquee event all year long. They put like a massive amount of their marketing dollars into this event. It's in Irving, Texas, just right outside of Dallas, kind of close to the DFW airport. And they, I guess in this event, all these, how many are there? I'm assuming there's a lot of other podcasts there, Stevie.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's like five, I believe there's like five like judges, like from a professional athlete, influencer standpoint, I believe, and we're one of them. And yeah, we vote on creativity, you know, let's call it the ship or plane or whatever they're going with is going off. And then we're judging them on how far they go, creativity, their little skit thing before. And it should be a lot of fun. Hopefully we all make it out of there alive. It's like off of a giant platform. You run off. We'll be throwing, I believe, Simon off. He'll be piloting our craft. And
Simon from the Nothing Major team.
Yes.
Who's coming on the pod in a second. You guys will meet him.
How good is Simon's hair, by the way?
It's unbelievable.
It's so good.
He's got great hair.
It's unbelievable.
But yes, we're actually the only podcast, Stevie.
Yes.
I think that's pretty cool. So the Nothing Major podcast, we have our own float flying deal that's going to go off that Simon's going to land into the water in. And that's it. There's like 40,000 people are going to be there. It's and there's going to be good weather this weekend. So it should be
a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Should be a lot of fun. And if you're in Dallas, come watch, please. There's going to be 40,000 people already out there. But if there's any Nothing Major Dallas listeners, come on out to Irving and watch the Nothing Major crew and their Red Bull Flugtag debut. And here's Blair.
Blair, oh my gosh.
Are you back in the DFW area?
I am. I'm wearing my camo as a show of respect for being back in Texas.
Oh, perfect. Well, we were just talking about the event that Stevie and I are doing, and the Red Bull Flugtag event is in Irving.
Are you like jumping out of a plane or something?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, basically.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yes.
We are kind of looking for a pilot. If you want to be the pilot, we can.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, I don't want to be the pilot, but I would be in the plane. Is there an extra seat available? I would absolutely do this.
There's definitely room available. There's not a waiting list to be a part of this, but.
Well, I'm really excited for you guys. Add it to the resume.
But yes, but anyway, so Blair, I'm going to intro you now. You've been on before.
You're our first recurring guest.
Yeah, you are our first recurring guest.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Honored. Okay.
So Blair Henley was a top 30 college tennis player, turned host, fantastic host. We think you're the best in the sport. You were doing the player intros into Arthur Ashe Stadium this year. You did that last year as well. You've done that for a while. At the US Open, did an incredible job doing that. Reporter, producer, post-match interviewer, everything. Tennis, you do such an amazing job, Blair. So thank you for coming on. We're trying a recurring segment with you that we're calling No Man's Land. Where did this name come from? Because I read this very briefly last night before we...
Yeah.
Can you shine a little light on that?
Wait, is it not the perfect name? Because I am the only person here who's not a man.
Yes, that's a good point. To play on words, I should have gotten that.
Did not connect for you?
No, I didn't think about it either.
I didn't think about it either.
Thank you, Sam. Yeah. You guys could have just,
just
made me be the dumb one here.
Not a man. And also, much like the indecision that comes with being stuck in no man's land, like you don't know if you're going to the net or staying at the baseline, we also don't exactly know what this recurring segment is going to be. And so it leaves us open to whatever the heck we want to do.
A lot of good points here from Blair.
Okay, Blair, thanks again for coming on. What do you have for the three of us today?
Yes. So I had this thought when I saw Sam. I saw Sam a couple of times at the US Open. One, I saw the top of his head when he was calling the Medvedev-Bonzi match from the top of Armstrong, which was honestly like one of the wildest moments probably of my career. But then I also saw Sam... It's the second week of main draw play, so like the third week of the whole thing. And I was sitting in the player garden talking to a friend, and I see him come out the front doors and then take a hard left around the building. And then I tried to make eye contact, you know, give a wave. No, he was like in the zone. And then like 2 minutes later, Sam pops out the front door again, takes a hard left around the building. I think, Sam, I saw a total of like 4 laps around the building, and I did maybe see like your lips moving, and then I was thinking, he might be running his pre-match interview questions. I don't know if I was right or not.
That's exactly what I was doing.
Okay. Wow. So my question is, what for nervous. Those of you, I mean, all three of you guys are doing broadcast stuff now. What are the nerves like pre-broadcast stuff? And obviously different things that you do are created differently. They're different segments. They have different pressures. But is it the same kind of nerves as tennis? Is it different from tennis? Do you not get nervous at all? And Sam, if you could walk us through your... I mean, when I tell you were in the zone, Sam was like slightly leaned forward, like power walking around the building.
I think that was the quarterfinals. I think it was Alcaraz versus Lehechka.
Did you go with the buena suerte, mi amigo?
Yeah, that was that. When I hit Carlos with the buena suerte, mi amigo. I was just doing circles going over. It's only 2 questions each, but those pre-match questions, as you know, Blair, you can't ask that much. There's nothing fun to ask. You know, I can't be like, Carlos, how was the golf course yesterday as he's walking out on an ash? That's a post-match question. I get nervous because like tennis, as John and Stevie know, like you've been practicing, you kind of know your level, you have a certain amount of confidence going into it. Again, I'm speaking for myself. I'm still new at this. So like those pre-match questions, you're just nervous because you haven't done a lot of them. And it's in front of a lot of people and you don't want to ask a stupid question and you feel like there's not a lot of good. You don't want to be like, how are you feeling? Right? That's a lame question. You want to like word a question in like a more complex way to try to get a good answer, but it's tough. I don't really love the pre-match questions. Post-match on court are better. But again, it's so dependent on who you ask. If you get Alcaraz or you get Novak, it's easy. They give like the best answers. Yannick, easy. There's some other players, I'm not going to name them because that's mean, that like you go out there and it's like, oh, I got to interview this person. Like it's, I think sometimes too, like I try to be somewhat comical and funny with it. And if it's like a European, the sarcasm might not cross over and then it's like uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's how I feel about it. It's way harder than you think. And like Blair makes it look so smooth. Pre-match questions, post-match interviews, stuff like that. It's tough.
Well, I want to ask Blair actually, give us some tips. I didn't do any pre or post-match stuff like Sam did. And Stevie didn't either. So give us like 2 quick tips for how to navigate. How about the post-match side?
Yeah, because I actually didn't do any pre-match this year. But on the post-match side, I always go in with a plan A, which I'm sure you guys who have done it also do. Like, I have a plan A in my head of what I want to ask. But as I've done this more and more, I have become better at listening to the answer. And if the answer takes us in a different direction, I'm always ready to go in that different direction. Because I think that, again, at the beginning when I first started doing this, you guys, I memorized my questions. I was like, we are not deviating from plan A at all. Doesn't matter what comes out of their mouth. Sometimes I didn't even know what came out of the player's mouth because I was so focused on what I was going to ask next.
Speaking of listening to the answer, the acoustics on the stadium are so bad.
Acoustics.
Acoustics. What is it? I just say acoustics. Acoustics. I meant acoustics.
You said acoustics.
All right.
Okay. Playing pool. He wants acoustic.
The acoustic. If you're like 4 feet from someone and you ask them a question, you can't hear the response. The echoing and the lag. How do you focus on that? I can't hear them.
I think you get used to it. So I think there's part of the process that's just getting used to it. I always feel bad for the players, though, because some players don't handle it well when they can hear their voice back in their ear. Sam, were you able to hear your questions in your ear?
No, I ripped them out. I, like, the producer would talk, and I would just take them out and just go blind. Didn't know when a TV break was coming up or anything.
Sam got really good reviews, you guys. Like, I heard from objective third-party sources that Sam did a really good job.
He did. Blair, thank you so much for your contribution to No Man's Land, which is what we're calling it. And we look forward to having you as a recurring guest.
Thanks, you guys.
All right, this next segment is honestly not a great listen. It's more of a watch. Don't know how this is going to play out, but I pitched this a long time ago. We're finally doing it. We've taken male players, put them into an AI algorithm of some kind, and they've been spit back out as a female. So it's going to be like a female, but we're going to be able to tell what male player it is. And we're going to pretend like it's like a Tinder. You're going to swipe right or left based on if it's like good or bad. It's a slightly risky.
It's slightly risky.
Are we going to know who it is?
I think we're going to know who it is. Okay. I think we're going to. I haven't seen. To be fair, no one's seen any of these. We don't know what players are coming onto the screen right now. Let's start with number one.
Okay.
Okay.
That's so Curly Toast. Who's going first? Who's going first? Sam, you go first.
I'll go first. I'm going to go left on Carlos.
I'm going left on, maybe we call her Carla or something. I'm going Carla. Left.
Yeah, it's going to be a right. It's going to be a great personality.
Oh, you're going right.
Great personality.
Left is a no, right's a yes, by the way. Next up. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure who that is. Let's go right or left and then discuss.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going right.
Yeah, I'm going right.
Yeah, it's a right.
Oh, it's Berrettini.
Of course we
of
went
course
right.
Of course that's a right.
Yeah, of course. That makes perfect sense.
Oh, my gosh. It's an obvious one.
Yeah, but
one.
He normally has... Well, obviously you can't put facial hair on
him. He's got such a good jawline. You know?
Very, he doesn't.
Legs bad still. Legs are bad. Calves non-existent.
Oh, my God.
It's a hard left.
It's a hard left.
Look at those teeth.
Great hair, though.
Great hair. I mean,
you going left?
I'm going left. Going left. No, I'm going left. Nice eyes, big, beautiful white teeth.
Good eyes, good hair.
And again, phenomenal head of hair.
Oh, Casper.
Oh, no, I'll left. Start. Left. Oh, Casper.
Left.
He looks like a Karen.
No, yeah. No justice with the hair. That's tough.
No
hair.
Justice with the yeah. hair. We did yeah. it dirty with the hair. It looks like Carrot Top.
Yeah.
It does look like with Carrot Top a little.
The it's curly hair. Brutal for Casper. Left, huh?
Yeah.
The hard left again.
Okay. I know who it is.
Okay. Yeah. That's a right, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Sasha.
Sarah. That's a hard right.
Much better with the hair, though. You know?
The hair. Yeah, Casper. The we're hair. Sorry. We did you dirty.
Hair goes a long way.
It does.
Oh, foe.
Is that big foe?
It's big foe. And it's, oh, man, this is a tough one. It's a personality.
She looks so friendly. Like,
she,
right?
She does.
I'm going right.
Yeah. It's the hang. It's the hang.
Yeah.
Going right. Yeah, it's the hang. It's all about the hang.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Dirty with the hair.
Why the hair?
The bangs.
Yeah, the bangs. We're going left.
Oh, Musetti.
Oh, is it?
God, you're good at this, Stevie.
You're so good at this, Stevie. That's definitely a right.
It's a right.
Yes, right. Good hair, eyebrows.
Good skin tea. It's Musetti, right? I mean.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Is it Musetti?
It is. Yeah, that's a right. He's got great hair.
Hair goes a long way. Zverev and Berrettini. Oh, dude. My. Why?
That is...
Stop laughing.
That's an absolute dead left. That's a U-turn.
But you know, dead left. That's a U-turn. About the hair. You guys screwed me with the hair.
Stevie, you talked about Carlos's personality or Carlita's personality. Yeah. What about
Samantha? I spend too much time with Sam. I'm out.
You're still going left on me?
Yeah, hard left, dude. Sorry.
I'm going right.
You're going right? All right.
I'm going right.
That was a sympathy right.
Maybe if the hair was like in a ponytail or something, but... Need some help.
Yeah, you didn't get much justice with the hair either.
You got a lot of personality points there.
Top three: Berrettini, Musetti, Zverev.
Yeah. Yes, I'm going Musetti one.
Musetti one.
I think Musetti one too.
Yeah.
Sam, I think you cracked the top five.
I definitely did not.
All right, guys, I gotta run. Sorry.
All right, bye, Stevie. Have fun on Tennis Channel.
I gotta go work. Later.
All right.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Sam, ready for some mailbag cues?
Yeah, mailbag. I like mailbag.
Okay, here we go. This is a submission from Sammy here in Dallas. Like seeing that. Question is, Sam and myself, who do we think will be the first to complete the career slam, Sinner or Alcaraz? Obviously, Alcaraz needs to win the Aussie. Sinner needs to win Roland Garros. I'll take a stab at this. I'm going to say Alcaraz just because he has the first shot at it.
Yeah, good point.
Winning the Aussie Open. I think just by virtue of that, the Aussie Open being the next major, it's a weird one that he hasn't done that well at that tournament.
I don't think he's even made a final.
No, he has not.
Has he even made a semi? Who knows? We don't know that stuff.
Zverev has gotten him. Djokovic has gotten him there in recent years. So, I mean, he should be fine. Just a weird one that he hasn't. Yeah. With that level that we saw at the US Open, if he brings that, no one's beating him. As we know.
I'm agreeing with you. I think Alcaraz has a better shot. Him winning there on the hard courts feels more feasible than Yannick winning on the clay. Not that Yannick's not like dominant on the clay. He could have won it this year, but it just feels like, you know, maybe Yannick comes up against like Musetti and then, you know, Casper and then Alcaraz is a little tougher. Give the slight edge to Carlos on that one.
Okay. I like this one. This is from, a listener in Amsterdam, Pop K, and it says, what was your favorite cheat meal during a slam, especially during or after the US Open?
Favorite cheat meal? I didn't really have like a cheat meal. You know, I didn't lose and then instantly go crave like a cheeseburger from like In-N-Out or something like that. I was more like a sugar guy, though. I'd probably go have like a bunch of like churros or ice cream, something like that. Maybe like after I lost. But yeah, didn't have a go-to cheat meal. I don't think many players have that.
I disagree. I feel like, I was a pizza guy, especially after losing in New York. Cause if I lost late enough, or sometimes if I lost on the weekend, college football was going on. So for me, it was like, all right, I'm out of the tournament. I want pizza and beer and I want to watch college football. I was never a go out and party guy, but I would just like, I'd like to sit in my hotel room with friends and eat pizza.
Our foster dog named Boston seems to hate John Isner. That's from J.R. Bossa.
Oh, there's a movie attached.
Wait, that's pretty good. The dog hates serve bots. That is like a little angry growl.
But is it only me?
I think so.
So if you were talking on the pod that he was listening to, the dog is just not making any noise?
Yeah, I think so.
Apparently so.
Wow, that kind of stinks.
Okay. Boston. Like, I'm a big dog guy. Sam hates dogs. You need
I don't hate dogs. We got to stop saying that. I'm indifferent to dogs. There's such a difference.
Well, I'm a dog lover, Boston. I promise you, if I met you, you would love me.
That is very true. Here's one from Amy. Do stars and celebrities have to pay for their U.S. Open tickets or do they get in for free? We saw every day there was like 100 celebs at the U.S. Open. I can guarantee you none of them paid for a ticket. They were all invited or got their ticket comped. All the seats in that President's Club. I don't know if they mentioned that on air. It's right behind the court. That's where like the majority of the celebrities sit. Those aren't tickets you can buy. Those are tickets owned by the USTA. There's probably 200 seats in there and it's they're invite only seats.
It is sort of a weird dynamic. The richer and more famous you are, the less you have to pay for stuff.
I know.
I mean, I don't know. It's just,
it's a weird dynamic. I don't know how to like change it.
I know. It's like, I agree. Then, you know, the tickets were so expensive, especially towards the end of the tournament, given the matches and Djokovic.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a really good one. This is a good one from Chris in, golly, Cambodia.
Wow.
Like Chris with the K. That is awesome, from Cambodia. Thank you for listening. It says, currently Novak has 100 titles. Obviously, he got his 100th title at Geneva this year before Roland Garros. Jimmy Connors has the record at 109, and Fed has 103. His question is, do you think Novak considers it important to eclipse these numbers?
I think we're going to say the same thing. I don't think it's important to him, and based on what his calendar was this year. The last three tournaments he played were Roland Garros, Wimbledon, U.S. Open. If Novak wanted to surpass those guys, he could. He could go load up with 250s and win them. Because as we saw this year, he made the semifinals of all four majors. So in major tournaments, he's the third best player in the world. And his total is, what's he ranked right now? 7? I think he's generally looked at as the third best player in the world right now. He could go sign up for a handful of 250s and could have this year and probably won 10 of them. So for that reason alone, I don't think those numbers of surpassing Fed and Jimmy Connors are important to him at all.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah, I think he's cemented. That's a good question, but cemented his place as the greatest tennis player of all time. I don't think we're going to see him in Delray Beach in February. Do you?
No, I do not. I think he's signed up to play that 250 in Greece, the one that moved from Belgrade to Greece.
Oh, I did see that, yeah.
That might be the last 250 he ever plays.
Or he might, before the Aussie Open,
play like Brisbane or something like that. But yeah, he's not going to play enough events to
he might just like, he might get to 104, but without having to change his calendar at all.
Yes, 109, I don't think he will get
to. No, he's not getting to 109.
9 titles, that's like multiple good years.
Yeah, no shot.
One other thing before we go. I called the men's doubles final. It's not a knock on the men's doubles players. I'm doubling down on Sinner beating two of the men's players, by the way.
Yeah. I'm tripling down.
With Sinner getting alleys and the doubles players getting singles.
Yeah, I don't even think it's close. We mentioned before the man with the great hair, Simon Bull from SIFT, is going to be our pilot at the Red Bull Flugtag event, and he is joining us. The man behind the curtain for all these episodes, or one of the men behind the curtain, is now joining us, and his hair looks excellent as always. Simon, did you volunteer to do this because Stevie and I were such wimps? Like, are you excited about this?
Essentially, I think everybody took a look at the craft and decided that they valued their lives, and I'm the only person who's dumb enough to try and give this a go. So, yes.
Do you have any pilot experience?
Actually, weirdly enough, I do. I used to fly gliders when I was a kid. So I do have piloting experience, but I'm not sure there's too many transferable skills that go across.
Does
the device that you're in that we've got have like a steering wheel?
Have you looked at it?
No.
It's essentially like a hang glider.
Simon does all of our social clips, which everyone loves, by the way. If you die on this, do we have a backup ready to go for the social clips?
Yeah, you guys are in big trouble.
I know. We need you. Actually, I think you're more integral to this than Stevie. We might
have honestly.
you are so good at the social, which everyone comments about.
I was feeling pretty good about this, and then I went onto the Wikipedia page and found the serious injury section, which is made me a little bit concerned. Only 3, but you know, just putting a little bit of tension in the...
You're going to have to sign a waiver.
Oh, you bet.
I feel there's got to be like medics standing by too.
Yeah.
I'll be looking for some family donations from the pair of you if things do go south, which they will.
Oh, man. Well, we have faith in you.
I will say this. The decision on who flies this craft is currently down to the Chinese government. I know that sounds very strange. When I'm not working with Nothing Major, I'm working across a bunch of other tennis clients doing social and production with SIFT. I'm headed to Beijing in 2 weeks to work the tournament, to do social and marketing with the tournament. As of right now, I'm in the middle of my visa application process. So the Chinese embassy has my passport. So Flugtages this week. I can only make this if the Chinese embassy gives me back my passport in time and I get my visa. This could be pretty bad for you guys.
Stevie is the co-pilot.
Yeah, exactly. We need that expedited.
All right, hopefully you get it.
Yeah, I hope for your guys' sake that I get it.
I think you will. All right, thanks, Simon.
See you guys in Dallas.
There's just no way I could do this. I'm just too tall. Too big. Yeah, yeah. There's too much that could go wrong. All right, that's it for this week. Thank you, Stevie. You know you had to leave early. Sam, thank you for everyone. We really enjoyed Something Major during the course of the U.S. Open, but we're back to Nothing Major. Head to Tennis Warehouse and search Nothing Major for our merch. Tennis Warehouse is amazing. Our bracket winner, Racketeering, is getting a $2,000 gift card to Tennis Warehouse. That's awesome. And we hope to see some of you guys at the Flugtag event here in Dallas on Saturday, tomorrow. Thanks, everyone.